I seem to have lost audio. I don't know if anyone else can hear anything.
How about now? Is that better? Is that better?
Yes, although
Okay.
there is
Yes,
a bit
I'll
of an
work. Okay,
echo.
let me work on that. Greg, you have your hand up? Love technology. James. Phone number, area code 402-214-8069. Going to mute you because I think that's causing the. How's that?
That's good.
Yeah,
Okay,
that
great.
sounds
Thank you. All
better.
right. Okay, thanks. I don't know who that is, but if you need to speak, raise your hand or whatever. Let me know, and we'll take you on and off mute.
All right, let's start out with roll call. I'm John Schaefer. I'm the chairman today. And here, Kevin. He ran over
Oh, thank you. Sorry. There you are. Yeah. Call.
Hey, Bruno. Jim Malinowski, Railroad and Guiding Cohen. Part A of our revised report.
You call us from the Paramount Rock Report.
Jim Pearson, Railroad Revised Report.
Michael O'Connell, a former property owner along the railroad.
Happens a Roman crossing the landowner today.
Randy Williams, Gillette Superior Railroad.
Jim McCray, private citizen.
Charles Hancock, University of the Right Way.
All right, is everybody ready to minute from the previous meeting? Everybody take your bag down. Any corrections or changes that anybody would like to make? They would like to move to accept.
Make a motion to accept.
Also.
Moves and seconded, all in favor for accepting the minutes, say ayes.
Aye.
They opposed? Okay, they remove along, okay. Comments from the chair, I only have one thing, and that is, some of you have been here well, you know, Jay Claremont, who's on the board since 2007, and in the end resigned in 21 because he picked up an illness and it caused him going to be blind, here to lose his blindness. Since 2021, he was dying, and on the 27th of November, he died, and he was 88. And Dan talked to him about a week and a half before he died, and he found a chipper. And one thing he did is he had a collection of railroad memorabilia. He would want to know if anybody would like to add it to their collection for him. And it says that with a bunch of base spikes and switch keys, railroad names on it. And we were wondering if somebody would like to put it in their collection and not just put them both in the junk box. Now that he's passed away, that goes to his family. But if you have an interest in that, contact Dan, because I think if they're so interested in giving away, they'll probably contact Dan. So if you have an interest in PBJR, he works the app. I'm really sorry. You know, maybe if something interests you and you had somebody that might interest you in that.
Greg Harrington?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, most of these will be probably Midwestern railroads, because that's where San Luis Obispo.
And so just for the folks online, it sounds like they're having a tough time hearing. So okay. I guess maybe for their benefit, we do need to have those mics closer to our mouths when we're speaking.
All right. Usually, my voice carries pretty good. Okay. So anyhow, if you have interest in dates, spikes, and switch keys with railroad name on them, just get a hold of Dan Reed. And he'll either contact the family or through the family or by contact him. Let's see, we have no one here from PBJR. So that moves us to BY6.
Thanks, John. Not a lot to report. We're in the middle of our Christmas season. We have an uptick from last year on pasture count. The last two weekends, each day has three trains, and we've run 2,200 passengers in the first two weekends of our season. We have two more weekends to go, same number of trains. So it's looking good for us. On the first weekend, we did have 150 tickets that were donated to Cloth and Foster, which is a group that takes in kids, I guess, in the court system, the foster services. They used to be, I think they took over from the YWCA and CASA. So, yeah, we donate tickets to them, and they get their group out there, and they had a good time. I don't see much of it because I'm sitting in a recliner with a red suit, big beard that tastes like hell. But it was a good crowd. Weather held up pretty good. We didn't have a whole lot of bad weather. So it's looking good. Been working with RailWorks a lot. Evan Klein, who is their project manager, very, very good to work with. They've been doing a good job out there getting stuff ready, getting stuff done. We're sharing our yard with them, so they have a place to stage things. And it's working out well. They're good people to work with. And I'm glad the county saw it. Anybody have any questions for BYCX? If not, thank you.
I think you guys do a great job. Daniel, we're just talking about, you're all sold out to the
field. Well, our train has a capacity of a little over 200. Jerry's our conductor. We have increased our tickets online reservation count to 175. We had it at 150, kicked it up to 175 to allow for a few walk-ons. And then we get a few cancels, kids get sick, whatnot, people cancel. We try to encourage them to take the tickets, just use them for a different day. Our tickets aren't date related, just a reservation. So we were in, I think we had one train over 200, Jerry.
207.
The rest of it in the, you know, 180s, 190s. So it's been good. We're at a nice, comfortable spot. Could use a few more, but I'm not complaining. We're good.
That's great. Because you have a short ride, it's your
We've got more cars back in service now because the weight restriction was taken off of Bridge 25. So we're able to run our regular diesel and all of our cars. Volunteers have redone three of the cars, two outside seating cars and the big coach, cleaned them all up, expanded the bathroom in the coach, new curtains, paint. So everything's looking nice, but they're decorated up to meet the band. We've got lights in every car now and Christmas trees all over. The family's having a good time. And we have a local vendor, local retail gift shop in Yakult, Stellar Lux. And they're bringing out ornaments, really nice ornaments for us to hide in the forest along our walkways and things. They're hiding in the town of Yakult as well. And they're in a bag. They have gift certificates in them where they can go in the store and pick up stuff. But they're really nice, ornate, like 4-inch ornaments.
Wow.
And so they've been put, I think we're getting 20 or 30 for every train. And we put them out there. And of course, you hear the kids screaming and hollering when they find them. It's really nice. So it's a great, great family run business. It's doing that. Yeah, thank you.
Crazy. Yeah, so for the bridge repair updates, we've finished bridge 6 and bridge 25, so all the repairs are done on those two. Bridge 23 is 99% complete, I think. There's one more item to finish on bridge 23, I think, and then repairs on bridge 18, 20, have been ongoing, and the contractor is going to continue working on those through mid to late December, and then take a break for the holidays, and then be back in January to finish up. And all's been going really well, with the exception of bridge 20. There's some undermining of the mud sill that's in the middle of the creek there. So we're working with the state to figure out what we can do. Bridge repair is going well. We are putting out notice to contractors for the rehab work with the remaining funds on the contracts or on the grant. And that notice to contractors will go out in early January. Maybe it's mid-January. And then we'll be advertising for that work and get another contract.
Okay, so on bridge work, then that when we're done with what we have now, all that's left is paying the bridge on Highway 99.
Correct.
And they have an estimate on that?
We have an estimate. We're putting it in the contract for the rehab work. So there'll be some rehab work up near Yakult, and then a little bit of painting of the bridge on Highway 99.
And we can give the bridges to Eric.
And that's the idea.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Okay, on the rehab work that's going to be left or done with the remaining funds, how will those areas be determined?
Well, we based it on where BYCX is operating and how much money we had left. So it's basically going to be up near Yakult and as far south as the money will take us. There's we're breaking it up into chunks so we can bid it as alternates. So if the bids come in low enough, then we can add work. But I can follow up with you offline and give you the details on that. But
we're curious where.
Yeah, right now it looks like the bid is going to be from Yakult to Moulton Falls as the base bid. And then if we can add additional onto that, depending on how much money is left after all the bridge repairs are done and how the bids come in. So that's what it looks like right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, something was surprising talking to Evan Klein the other day is at Bridge 20, which has a big waterfall, they found trout in the up by Bridge 20. How they got up that water. They have some flying fish.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Okay, and then the only other update was the Open Public Meeting Act. So in the past, we had talked about how these meetings were subject to the Open Public Meeting Act. We've had a recent opinion from our attorney that they're not. And so the Open Public Meeting Act training that we've been having you go through is not necessary, although still something good for you maybe to be aware of, but not something that we're going to be needing you to do, requiring you to do. So just wanted to provide that as an update for existing members and new members. And I believe Kevin McDowell is online if you wanted to add anything to what I just said.
Yes, I am here, and I don't have much to add to what you just said. I think that is a good summary. I guess the one thing that I would mention is that it's a good practice to follow OPMA procedures, just not something that we want to set forth as being legally required for this advisory board, because then we create the appearance that we are bound to follow OPMA requirements when in fact we're not legally bound to do so. But again, best practice is to observe them to the extent practicable.
Thanks, Kevin. And I think that's all the updates I have currently. Go back to the agenda here.
Okay. Shane, now you can hear me. Way back here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
that wasn't a good idea right now. Move that. On unfinished business. On unfinished business. Railroad presentation of how second last meeting we even talked about. We need to have that information available. But now we're at the right time to have the open house because things are unbound. But although I'm going to have you back to that because hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to the new town councilor sure coming in. And one of the things that everyone knows is what is the value of having railroads in our county. Actually, you should hear.
It's a great value.
Yes. We have some board terms expiring. Did everybody sign up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, sorry. So every existing board member sent in an email asking to be renewed for another term.
Okay.
And we also did receive a couple of additional folks sending in letters of interest. So one sent Sunday, so I didn't get that into the agenda packet in time. And the other one was is included in the agenda packet.
Okay, so actually for us, purpose learning over the week. Last time we had a meeting, they're getting ready to have a hearing about rescinding the decision to not have an environmental impact statement for the county decision to include that site in the surface mining overlay. And it was quite a crowd turned out. And in fact, I had to park two blocks away to get a parking slot. But the hearing itself was pretty uneventful. Basically, what it came down to, the county said and decided we spent all this money and legal fees to get to the point where we're at the appellate court. All we have left to do is oral arguments. And the only reason they haven't had oral arguments yet is because the attorneys can't get the schedule together to meet with the court on a date that the court has available. So the final arguments before the appellate court is, I believe, February. And so they decided that they're going to have the hearing and get their appellate court decision. And it sounded like Dave probably would abide by what the appellate court said. And, you know, basically, you know, the two sides of the argument are that one, GMA says, the Growth Manager Act says that, you know, in the environmental analysis, you're supposed to base it on the information they have at hand at the time of the application. Normally, when somebody applies to get in the overlay, They just come in and say, yeah, I'd like to do mining on the property. Well, how much can mine? Don't know. Who's going to mine? Don't know. It's just, we want to get in the overland. So there's really nothing to do on overland, but on the granite site, they provide a ton of information. We're going to move 3 million tons a year. We're going to do it by rail. We're going to do it by truck. Here's our mining plan. It's really detailed. And so the appellant said, you have this much detail, you need to do an environmental analysis on this. And the county said,
John, sorry, can you?
Okay.
Yeah, try to hold it up a little closer.
Okay, and the county said, at this level, none of this is binding on the applicant. So they could say all this stuff going in, and they could change their mind next week. Because like, unlike a conditional use permit or something where you're bound to do, say you're going to do, you're not bound, but you're just trying to get on the overlay. So that went to the growth management board, and the board decided that you have this much detail, you have to do an environmental impact statement. The county said we don't agree, and that's what went to the color board. So that's what we're waiting on. We're not waiting on it. This is a mining. This is a mining issue. This is a rail issue. But during the course of the hearing, there was a lot of talk about grant construction and the rail. They were tied to the hip and not favorable. And Eric said a lot of times it wasn't the railroad and mine, it was Eric and Brad. So yeah, we were kind of getting dragged through the mud a little bit on that. So they down there for February sometime where they'll have the hearing, and depending on the workload of the court, maybe 3 to 5 weeks after that, we'll get a decision. That's it.
Is there a way that all the members of this board can get notice of these meetings? I've never had notice of any of them, and I would have loved it.
Well, we discussed this meeting at our last meeting.
Yeah.
It's Grant Wright and said, John, are you going to go to this?
Well, I don't remember seeing anything in the email as details.
Yeah, it wasn't a meeting. We just discussed it. It was next Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
I would agree. I would really appreciate it if the county would notify us.
We had
meetings address this issue.
Okay.
Yeah, Jim, we talked about it in these meetings, and I've sent links to board members about how to participate in council hearings on matters of this, this subject and others. So I'll continue to do that. Apologize if we missed this one or it didn't get to you. And then just again, just a reminder, sounds like folks online are having a tough time hearing unless you're holding it up. And then Greg Smith, who's not able to, he's not able to connect audio, did type something into the chat. It's shown on the screen there, but he's saying the Court of Appeals for Chalachi should be on January 9th at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And you can go in person in Seattle if you want to go to Seattle. But there should be, it looks like, a way to participate that through a web link. I don't know that I'll be notified about that, but we can certainly ask.
Yeah, January 9th is great.
And then before you go on to new business, or old business, unfinished business, I need you to, as a board, make a motion to move those 4 candidates for another term forward to the county manager for consideration. So that's John, Neil Chambers, Mark Daniels, and then Jim Molodowski.
Does anybody besides those 4 members want to make a motion?
I make a motion.
Okay.
For that. All seconded.
All right.
All seconded.
It's been moved and seconded. somehow accept these guys that came in the portal. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody disapprove? All right, Karen, you guys are in again. All right, next new business. Dave Rowe wanted to talk a little bit about high capacity transit. He gave us a bunch of handouts and Garrett, you have a floor, sir.
You know, this is Dave Rowe. But you can hear me?
Yeah.
Well, back in 2007, I was on a high capacity transit study in Kerr County, and they talked about regional rail. They called it commuter rail back then. Regional rail is a little bit more expansive than commuter rail, because commuter rail is usually is rail going in the town and in the morning and out of town in the afternoon. But regional rail would fit very well in Park County to have two-way traffic following passengers from Battleground to Vancouver into Portland, or Ridgefield into Vancouver into Portland. And it could go either way, Vancouver into Ridgefield, or it could go to Camas. We have three rail corridors already that is underutilized. And we talked about it back in 2007, and they said it would be something in the future. Well, this is 15 years later. And right now, IBR is struggling to get a highway expansion across the Columbia River, and they're spending $7 billion to bring light rail and also a highway freight and passengers across the Columbia River, and are spending $7 billion to do that. But it's going to be a huge bridge in across Hayden Island and into Vancouver. It's going to be five stories. If you look at haven't seen your moment. There's a big Huxley building, I think, is near the waterfront. It's going to be five stories when it crosses into Vancouver. So it's going to make quite an impact when they could get away from this toll bridge and add a rail. The three corridors of rail going into Portland, that we should sue this instead of having this big IBR design that they have. So this is kind of what I would like to just see if this organization wants to advocate for rail passengers and freight. Because these three lines can be utilized with freight and passengers. If we could just have some of this money from the IBR being spent on the Park County. So I just would like to have a discussion about that.
On the 2007 study, it brought out Ben was calling it, the previous, it wasn't PBJR, it was Columbia Railway. That, you know, not only do they control the rail line, they control all the county byway. So, and you haven't talked to Eric Temple about this, maybe?
Last year when I was attending, I asked Eric Temple, would he be against passenger rail service on his line? And at that time he said no, we wouldn't have any objections. And I think at another meeting last summer, we had some people from Yakult said if they would be in favor of passenger rail going up into Central Park County.
Yeah, basically the guy has got reasons in there, can't, if he's got, and as some of us know, Eric has a history of saying, yeah, of course, I'm trying to put his name on the line. Yeah, I'd like to see something in writing, and because I think everybody at the board is in favor, would be in favor of bringing passenger traffic to, you know, it's an ideal line to go right up to the head of the county, up, or at least an Algren. And you know, the interchange is a little spooky as far as trying to get on the NSF. And you know, going across the bridge, if what we hear is right, that if there's a passenger train, there's a 30-minute window in front and behind of a passenger train where they have to keep the tracks clear. And that's a pretty crowded bridge to begin with.
Some of the I was at a Northwest Summit Rail meeting up in Spokane a few months ago, and Burlington Northern, Santa Fe, and Union Pacific is got this catchphrase of high performance rail, which the federal government would help them make more sidings and more passing lanes on their right of way if they had a little bit of help from the federal government. And that's what I'm talking about, is if this IBR, it fails to be built like they're wanting it. WSDOT and ODOT is trying to push this highway project, but it's such a mega project that ran cost overruns. If we can split off some of that money and repurpose it from, instead of having light rail, which doesn't really give Park County advantage, light rail goes into Vancouver and that's it. And it's going to be billions of dollars to expand it in the county when we already have rail corridors here that we could add some passenger trains and also freight trains. High performance rail infrastructure. The feds might be able to help us to do that.
Well, we worked on a plan once using the rail line, and they go down the St. John's corridor, they go all the way into. Yeah, we did work on a plan once that had the going down the St. John's corridor and then going all the way into Vancouver where the light rail term was supposed to be. And you know, there's plenty of money we got through there too. We're getting cooperation from there.
Yes, I guess the issue for me is not that you put passenger rail on that in the immediate future, but that you retain the ability to do that sometime in the future. And you know, I guess one of my questions is on this county climate policy, where does the county stand on that development, and what do they see the rail as part of that commitment to? Minimizing climate change. It seems to me that rail has to be part of the solution. And it would really be ridiculous if this county abandoned that rail, that right of way, in light of our climate situation.
Was it Sierra Club thing we just had in and around?
Yeah, that's a Sierra Club.
If you see the conclusion of the back of that, it's right in your mind. You know, this is what rail brings to the table, but it's very positive for rail.
Yeah. So where is this county? Where are we standing on this study that's setting up a climate response plan?
Jim, I don't have the answer to that question for you at my fingertips. I know that community planning is working on climate change and how that relates to the comprehensive plan. So I can check in with community planning and get back to you and see if maybe they can come and talk to you guys for 10 or 15 minutes on that subject at one of the upcoming meetings.
Well, if we're really serious about doing something about climate change and energy use, we've got to build a rail system. Even that would be a tragedy for this county to abandon an existing system. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm on that committee for climate change, and we've talked about this rail improvement, but we have to have our citizens in our county go along with it. So that's where we need to start a conversation, and it begins with our group, because we're a railroad group, and talk it within the county itself. There's a lot of people in the county do not like light rail, and they think it's going to bring a lot of crime to Vancouver, and it goes into Vancouver, and C-Tran has to go into Vancouver to pick up passengers. When we've got three systems now that we go all the outlying areas, so it's a very unique opportunity for us with a rail system. But we've got to just educate our citizens that the potential of a rail. You can have a battery-powered rail cars that they've producing, or we could have overhead electric lines too. But we need to start talking about it, because it's something in the future. IBR is going to be completed in 2035, and that's many years. That's quite a few years away. But we can put rail structure in just a few years.
And I agree with that. I think you have to have some type of longer term plan up here. And I've often said this about the railroad. It's like a diamond in the rough. And not only for freight traffic, but also for the passenger traffic. Just by the way it bisects the county and goes out to the north end of the county on there, pretty people. But I think you got to expand a little bit. And one of them is, you have the major north-south route, BNSF. It goes out to Ridgefield and Woodland and in that area. And you also have the BNSF major east-west line that goes up to Columbia, because service Camas, Oshugo. And those lines are already in. And that track is, it's good. That's a very good track out there. I mean, county track isn't as good as the BNSF main line, but you can certainly get there if there's some money sunk in to it out there. And I've often argued to Noel Dale, I guess I would call it, with the state of Washington, because they run the Coast Star Link up and down the north south route, and 10 or 12 Cascade trains a day run up and down the north south route. Yet they all stop at the same place. If you leave Vancouver, your next stop is going to be Longview. Every train pretty much stops there and goes up the line. I'm often arguing with them, why don't, at least for some of those Cascade runs, why don't you stop at Lake Ridgefield? And some other locations on up the line, which you can never get a satisfactory answer. Maybe it's because we've already always done it this way, so we'll continue to do it this way, or we don't want to invest. We don't want to staff it or whatever, but Richfield is trying to promote their waterfront down there. Something around that area would blend right in with our community up there. Be same Attleboro, Amazon, whatever. There, but you gotta have. I agree. You gotta have any plan is better than no plan going forward. I said, I think you got a diamond in the rough here, and not only that, but with brake traffic on that line, so you got room to expand.
So, Dave, what do you want to do this for?
You're asking me what the next step is.
What do you want from us?
Well, just talking about it right now and spread it to other people in our county. How do they feel about expanding rail service? I'm disappointed that this IBR has spent 20 years trying to develop a highway project, And highway projects can just bring more automobiles into Clark County. We're going to have to lay more asphalt roads. And why don't we look about expanding our rail system? And a 17-foot right-of-way is a lot better than a 300-foot wide interstate. So I'm not sure how we as a group can go, but I know we're going to have, there's organizations gathering up petitions to oppose interstate, this IBR. So hopefully it won't be built and take over waterfront like they want to do. And then we'll build something different. It may be a MERS tube tunnel for through traffic. And then take some of the extra money that they have on the $7 billion project and repurpose it to build a railroad. How do we get there? I'm not sure. That's the question you're asking me.
You know, much like Eric out here,
I feel like Eric out here,
who really contracts from the line. I mean, I don't know if it'd be possible for us to go to Portland Western. They essentially did the same thing in their startup organization, and they're a heavy rail commuter over Portland. And, you know, they run a pretty tight ship over there. You know, who knows? They might be somebody interested in contract if it came over here. I'm not exactly sure how they from, you know, birth to what it is now. But I'm sure there are people probably open to that. They'll probably be able to tell you, you know, what direction to go.
Don't you think that this board could take the position that we think it's critical that the county maintain the ability to provide rate and future passenger service on this line? Well, that's not saying that you're going to have passengers tomorrow, but you maintain the ability to eventually have.
Well, their ability to do it one way or the other set for the next 30 years, that contract they have.
That, you know, that those contract things can be worked out. The point is, do you have a policy that makes sure you don't lose the ability to use that valuable resource? And I think that's a policy decision that the county council should make. They should make a commitment that this rail line is going to continue and exist and going to eventually be upgraded for both freight and passenger service.
I don't know how to answer that, because the agreement basically gave away all rights to use the railroad right away to here for the next 5 years.
Well, those things can certainly be worked out. You don't just give up because somebody made a mistake in the past. I mean, you should expect more of elected officials than to give up on something that's this important.
We expect them to live up to their contracts too.
Whatever. the point is, it's a valuable resource that should not be wasted. And this group at least would be making the point that it should be protected.
Yeah. Well, another thing that, you know, if you look at the right of way, you know, most of the right of way. It is wide enough for two sets of rails. You know, so.
You could have two sets of rails, but, you know, given probably the amount of traffic you have out there, maintenance costs, we go through right now, you know, I'm not sure that would be kind of feasible out there. But
you don't have as much. The money, like he's talking about, you're not there.
But you don't have as much traffic on the line either. I mean, you got like one train a day. I mean, that's not a lot of traffic to be dodging on a railroad out there. And, you know, there's operations that they run passenger service in the daylight hours, freight at night, or You know, there's a whole variety of things that you could do out there. Guess one of the questions I always have up here, does the railroad sit on an easement, or the property that the railroad on, is that wholly owned by the county?
It's owned by the county.
So then if something ever did happen to the railroad, would there be revisionary clauses?
Some of the property does have reversionary clauses.
Yeah, because some of it is, I look at it as, if it's a simple easement or an easement over, it would probably be reversionary clauses that it go back to the landowner. But that which is wholly owned doesn't necessarily revert back to a landowner, adjacent landowner. That's why that right of way is such a valuable piece of property.
And we ran into that when they were building the trail from Battleground Lake. They built that 1 mile and they wanted to build it all the way to Battleground. And so the property owner said, if you change it from railroad use to anything else, we want our land back.
Yeah, because there's a lot of times it's written right in there that it's for railroad sole use.
Sole railroad.
But if the tracks stay on it, and you have a trail, well, the railroad is still being used for the purpose of the railroad. It's that means for some attorney arms.
Doesn't the county have the right to condemn for those kinds of uses?
Yes.
If it came to that, too.
The railroad has the right for eminent domain.
Not exercise too often.
Okay, as we move on.
Okay, I guess we haven't reached any decision one way or another. It's just discussion, but I'd like to see how we can promote passenger rail, maybe repurpose the IBR or fast transit part instead of the light rail.
I think the bridge is going to get built.
I'm not so sure.
I don't know. Let me know when they're driving by. So,
I'd like to add a little injection here to that.
Right.
You know, people say, hey, we're going on electric cars, and that would be more environmentally friendly. So why do we deal? But electric cars are heavier, electric cars, tires wear out faster. That pollutes our rivers and our environment and our drinking water. So people don't understand, by going to electric cars, you're not cleaning the total environment up, you're just changing it for maybe air, you're creating a problem in the water system that everybody faces well there. So it's not an easy answer there. The answer is rail.
And electric cars are not as efficient, nearly as efficient as rail.
Correct. No, I agree. Every time I fly to visit my daughter, I use the rail, fast transit in Atlanta, and it works out fine. It's actually very pleasant because you just look at the freeway and see how crowded it is, and sit back and relax and not have to worry about it.
They're actually all the modern day locomotives. Diesel electric, they're just really a hybrid. They were hybrid before I even thought of making cars hybrids. So it's been out there for years.
Okay, I asked you earlier, what do you want from us?
I'm not sure. We'll have to think about it. Okay. We'll have to see how this IBR shapes out next few months, and I think they're going to have quite a fight to get this thing built. And when they're fighting about it, then we can chime in and say, okay, let's get mass transit on the railroad. That would be their component. The feds are saying it has to have mass transit.
Nope.
And what we're saying, mass transit could be regional rail, because we've got a system that wouldn't cost that much to expand for investing, and also expand freight. So that would help Eric Temple out. He might be able to get some more freight traffic that way. We'll have some passengers, and I think they could take 25% of the cars off the interstate bridge if they just go with rail. Because they right now Cascades goes across the river in 20 minutes. You can't drive your automobile across that river in 20 minutes. Light rail, when they get it built, it's going to take 35 minutes. Vancouver and Union Station. So Cascades, Amtrak is doing it faster today. So we'll think about what happens in the next couple of months. And we'll see if this RBR falls on its face.
Okay. Do we have any public testimony?
Are we talking about the good of the order stuff?
Nope. Right about that. The public testimony. Anybody online?
We're here. Would it be appropriate to ask the question of the county?
Sure. They'd like to, they love questions.
Charles Hancock. I'd love to ask a question of Kevin. You didn't mention bridge number 12 in your summary, and I'd like to know what the current status is on Oregon Bridge 12.
Yeah, sorry about that. Bridge 12, the end water work was completed earlier this year, and the remaining work on that bridge will take place after bridges 18 and 20 are done. So it's the last one on the schedule to get completed under contract currently.
12 is the last one to have completion?
Yes.
And it's supposed to be done, this contract was supposed to be completed by the end of this year, if I'm not mistaken, by the end of December, is that correct?
That's not correct. It's probably pushed out till early February, it looks like.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
I guess on that, I have a question in term. My name's Nathaniel.
Can you identify yourself for the rest of us, please?
Yeah. The name's Nathaniel or Nate. I was just curious, I guess, just as a follow-up to the bridge, is there a place you can find kind of where the bridge locations are, just so I have a reference when somebody says bridge 20 or this other bridge, is there at least public record somewhere where you can kind of have a visual aid to identify which bridge is being referred to?
Yes. So that information should be on the county website. I can send it to you tomorrow. But okay. Information about the contract and you know where those bridge repairs are taking place is on the county website.
Okay.
For the Shiawassee Prairie Railroad.
Cool. Because I'm just curious. Because being a visual person, I hear the names thrown around, but you know, then it's kind of like okay. And I know there's bridges that BYCX has. It's just trying to figure out which of the bridges we're being referred to. So that's cool. I guess the only other comment that I'd make, just hearing the discussion regarding the I-5 bridge, I think the biggest challenge I feel is, I think was kind of mentioned by some of the board already about just more of the challenge is convincing the public about the benefits of rail versus road. And I don't know how far along in the project process there are on the bridge side, because I know some of the argument for replacing the bridge outside of expanding a vehicle capacity is just the fact that seismically it needs to be at least per their assessment, upgraded to, you know, to be able to handle earthquakes and whatnot. So it's like, it sounds like if somebody has it their way, the bridge is going to get replaced somehow, some way, but then it's just kind of a discussion of how would it then help rail if it still was finalized as, well, we still have to replace the bridge, even if they were able to figure out something that can help the inner city transit. But, you know, anyways, it seems like, yeah, discussion needs to happen to somebody. And then somehow you can have to convince the public that, yeah, electric cars aren't actually the future. Railroad is actually much better. But it's good that at least it's being brought up. So that's all.
Okay. Anybody have anything for good of the order?
I do.
Yes, sir.
A couple of things. Michael Connelly. We're not having a party today, but there's a miniature party that has a few things off of the corner that we'll lay out at the end of this if anybody wants a cookie or things like that. I couldn't let the year end without some measure of levity happening here. So anybody here that wants to is invited in. We are short of cups, so not everybody perhaps wants a drink with a cookie, but use the cups sparingly. The primary thing I wanted to talk about today was an article that appeared in the Columbian this morning, having to do with our miniature neighbor, the Port of Ridgefield, and their ongoing multi-year meaning 20-year endeavor to figure out what to do with the toxic waste that was deposited there over a reasonable period of time, quite a long while. And that the primary thing of interest to me about this article was they solved a very difficult problem with a lot of contending interests. And in point of fact, according to the article, that initially the public was opposed to doing much of anything. And with the process that was involved, which was a sophisticated one, and it involved the Port of Ridgefield, the folks that were interested, the ecology department up north, and a complex of groups. And they got to the place where those that, quite a lot of them that were opposed initially to doing anything that really could matter, changed their mind. And I think it's well worth a deep read of anybody that's interested in process and solving complete problems. It's not that it's a copy by any means of what we're facing here, but it is indications that complex problems can be solved with a process that's set up, even though seemingly the limitation is the two-year election process that allocates funds that can vary over those election periods. They managed to put together a process that made it possible to get beyond that. And I think there's a perhaps really useful pieces of information that we could contemplate and that our endeavor here could look at carefully instead of staying in this stuck place, worried about not having jobs here, for example, the traffic here and the migration across the bridge every day for people that live here and work over there. There's numbers of lessons, I think, points of information that could be gathered from this. And they have mentioned an entity over in Portland, Palindrome Associates, that they're likely to work with, that has an amazing track record. I haven't looked thoroughly into it, but they've done projects in many states that are help in difficult, challenging situations like this to come to something that results in more than just talk and lamenting about things not getting done. So it's in today's Columbian. It's accessible in many, many different ways, but it's worth a read in my estimation. complex problems can be solved, but it takes some of the things that I've already said. Thank you. May I just add one other thing, and that's that it is, I think, quite likely, as Jim suggested, that it's important that we recognize that there was a study that the county did called Rails and Trails some years ago, and there's still copies of it. I'm sure the county has it, and you know, there was some forward thinking back then, and the reality is if we continue to talk about things and why they can't be done, the opportunity that we have here will go away, and that would be a huge loss, just as Jim pointed out. Thank you.
Anything else? I hear a motion to return. Do I hear a second? Okay. We're done. Thank you very much. Next week, I'll put you in the capable hands of Dan Weaver.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good evening.
Are we having a Christmas one? Are we having a Christmas?